Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thanks so much for your support. And you can support the show at support.greatdetectives.net. Over at greatdetectives.net, my weekly article is up. This one is a post on film review of the George Sanders Saint movies. Well, let's go ahead and take a listen to today's episode of The Lineup. This one's called The Buggered Bunko Boys.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now by transcription behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is The Lineup.
Hi, Ben. This is Mrs. Pomeroy, Lieutenant Guthrie.
Hello.
How do you do, Lieutenant?
Thank you for coming down, Mrs. Pomeroy. We can understand how you hate to be bothered at a time like this.
I want to do anything I can to help. Have you arrested him?
We don't know yet. Would you like to take a chair over there by the wall, please? I'll be with you in a second.
Oh, yes, of course. Is it over here?
Yes, any one of them. Well, three more cases, Quine.
No.
Yeah. Looks like they're out to make a record.
It sure does.
Mrs. Milliken come down?
She's pretty sick.
Oh?
Mary Webster's here, by the door.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, have Asher sit with everyone when he comes in.
Right.
Pardon me, please. Excuse me. Sorry. Well, I understand you have another boy in the service, Mrs. Pomeroy.
Yes, Eddie. He's just 21.
Uh-huh.
Eddie's been in the Navy 18 months now. He should be coming home on leave pretty soon. I'll be awfully glad to see him.
I'll bet you will.
Has this man done this sort of thing to many other people?
Well, we've had several reports in the last week or so. It sounds like a pair of them are working it together.
Pretty mean thing to do, taking advantage of a situation like that, isn't it?
It sure is, Mrs. Palmer.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Cogger, Sergeant Pete Cogger. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, when I ask for questions or identifications, call out the number. If you're sure or not too sure of the suspect, have him held. The officers who took your name will assist you. They're seated among you. Please be prompt with your questions or identifications. When the prisoners leave here, they're sent to the washroom and dressed back into their jail clothes. Makes it quite difficult to bring them back after they leave here. Now, the questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. All right, bring on the line. Okay, keep it moving, boys. Right over here to the end of the stage. Now turn and face the screen, hands at your sides. Number 10, get your hands out of your pockets. When I call out your name, step over to the circle in the middle of the stage. Answer my questions in a good loud voice so the people out there can hear you. Okay, number 1, Ambrose Davy, Grand Theft Merchandise. Where do you live?
Pasadena, California.
Your address is the last place you slept. You've heard that ever since you were booked in, all of you. Your address is the last place you slept. Okay, let's have your address, Ambrose.
Well, I don't know. It's a place on 3rd Street. I don't know what the number is.
What are you doing in town?
I don't know.
You don't know. Are you working?
No.
Are you looking for work?
Well, not particularly.
What kind of work do you do, Ambrose?
Well, I don't know.
Stand up straight.
I don't know anybody up
there. Get your hands out of your pocket.
I don't see anybody that I know.
Who are you arrested with?
This is just the first line. There'll be three more.
Oh.
Yeah.
Number 7 and number 10. Frederick Papish and Joseph Walsman, huh?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I didn't know what was their name.
You all live at the place on 3rd Street, don't you, Ambrose?
Yeah, I got the same room. Sleep in the same bed, matter of fact.
But you don't know?
No, we're always sleeping. Ain't had time to get acquainted.
Well, maybe we can fix that up for all of you, Ambrose. Come on, move on down.
Yes, sir.
Number 2, Richard Davidson, open charge. Where do you live, Richard?
4367 Newport Avenue.
4367?
Yeah.
That where you were picked up?
Yeah.
Hot in
What's
here, don't
so
you
funny?
Think?
It is a little.
Nothing.
And get rid of the smile.
You feel all right?
Mm-hmm. I'm fine.
You own a car?
No.
You own a gun?
No.
How do you make a living?
I'm a painter. I work for a contractor.
How long you been a painter?
Oh, let me see. I've been in the union since 1938.
Anyone arrested with you?
My brother Sam. He's in the hospital.
Lieutenant,
we know
where
he is.
The order. You put him there.
Oh. Stand up straight. Straighter.
Straight, Ben? Yeah. That's give me a hand.
Hold your head up.
Stuff here.
Oh.
Yeah. Come on.
Where are you from?
Let's take her up to my office.
Yeah.
Better now?
Much better. Thank you so much. A pretty silly thing to do.
Well, maybe you'd better rest here a few minutes.
No, I'm fine.
Sergeant Quine will drive you home, Miss Pomeroy.
Oh, that's a lot of trouble for you people. I have my own car here.
Well, you might get woozy again.
Honestly, I only faint once every 20 years. I never could afford to faint raising 2 boys all alone.
Well, if you feel like it tomorrow morning, we'd like to have you come down and look at some pictures in our files. Do you think you could do that?
Excuse me, didn't I hear you mention to the sergeant that those other people, the ones who were cheated too, were going to look at pictures tonight?
Yes.
Well, I'd like to look tonight.
Well, tomorrow will be soon enough, Miss Pomeroy. You better go home and rest.
But it'd be faster, wouldn't it? I mean, I just might recognize that man in one of those pictures.
Well, I don't think you're feeling too
well.
Oh,
I feel fine, and I'll feel better still when you arrest that man who came to my house with that awful story. I felt terrible when I found out that watch was nothing but junk, and he just brought it around and said Ralph had ordered it so he could cheat me out of a few dollars. The engraving, "To Mom with Love." Ralph dead now. Maybe if I look at some of those pictures, I can save some other people trouble.
Okay, Miss Pomeroy. Sergeant Quine will take you down.
I'll get it.
Even though we're anxious to get an identification, Mrs. Pomeroy, if you don't feel up to it,
why... Oh, no, Lieutenant. It seems the least I can do. Well, why,
Asher,
just the thought...
Got another complaint.
Oh, same thing?
Yeah, a priest at St. John's Cathedral.
Oh?
His brother was killed in Korea last week.
There it is, Lieutenant.
Mm-hmm. A pretty good-looking clock, Father.
Oh, it's that all right, but it's certainly not worth $50. It doesn't even run.
More like 5. Did he give it to you in a box, Father?
Yes, I believe so.
You still have the box?
Well, Mrs. James, my housekeeper, will know. I suppose it's still around. It was just a plain gift box. There was no lettering of any kind.
Uh-huh.
Hard to believe anyone would do a thing like this. It's hard to believe, that's
all. We appreciate how you feel, Father. You say he brought it this morning?
Yes, right after 8 o'clock mass.
And your brother's name appeared on the casualty list in last night's paper?
That's right. I heard from the War Department about Bill's death Sunday afternoon. When I told this young fellow that Bill had been killed, he acted like he couldn't believe it. He seemed so genuine. He went on how he and Bill had known each other off and on for years. He said they'd gone to a cathedral high together. I should have known something was wrong about his story then. Now, this man was at least 32, and Bill was only 26, his last birthday. That was August 11th. I didn't get his name when he introduced himself, and I asked him for his name again. And he told me it was Richard Norson.
Mm-hmm. What did he look like, Father?
Well, he was a husky-looking fellow, Lieutenant, about 6 feet, 175 or 80 pounds. Dark brown hair, brown eyes, medium build.
And what was he wearing?
Very nice clothes. Gray slacks and sport coat. A blue one.
Anything outstanding about his appearance? Scars, something like that? Mole, birthmark?
Well, no, nothing I can remember. Oh, wait a minute. Now, he wore a kind of perfume. It was cologne of some kind. Maybe it was after shave lotion, but it was pretty strong. That may not help you, but I remember that.
Did you notice if he had a car parked out in front?
No, I didn't look at all.
When he asked you for the money for the clock, what did you think?
Well, he didn't ask for it. This bird was real good, Lieutenant Guthrie. After he carried on about how shocked he was to hear of Bill's death, he said he'd like to have me come over for dinner Sunday with him and his wife. Now, somehow he mentioned that Bill had ordered the clock from overseas. Oh, he had it engraved and everything. He said he'd done it as a special favor to Bill. Now, I volunteered to pay for it. I had to force the money on him.
You give him a check or cash?
A cash. So I hooked the clock up, and of course it didn't work. I had the telephone number and the address he'd given me, and I called several times to tell him about it. No one answered. And I thought that was funny because it was supposed to be a wholesale house. I looked in the directory, and I didn't find his name either.
What was the name of the wholesale house he was supposed to represent?
A Gift Products Incorporated. I called your office after I checked the school records at Cathedral. No Richard Norton ever went to school.
We're glad you called us, Father. No telling how many people he's swindled around here that haven't called in.
We'd like to take this along with us, if you don't mind.
Why, surely.
Oh, by the way, Father, what branch of the service was your brother in?
A Marine Corps. He was a chaplain.
Alameda, to the man.
32,
35, 37. W.B.
Metropolitan
Center, to the man.
Hi.
Morning.
Quine tell you about the four new cases?
Yeah. The M.O. is exactly the same on every one of them. Casualty list is published one day, and they close in the next.
Pretty slick operators, all right.
This one, a woman with three children. Husband's a captain in the Army. They took her for $230.
What did they sell her?
Toys. He ordered made special for the kids before he left for overseas. Asher took the complaint. Said she just sat there and cried about it. Her husband was killed 3 weeks ago. Any luck on Norton?
Oh, nothing in the alias file that helps.
Well, we'll keep hauling in every known bunco artist. Those with W files and those without. Look at this stuff. Little pens, pencils, watches, bookends, lamps, toys. Selling it for 10 times what it's worth.
They must have a source of supply.
Could be anywhere. Nothing standard brand.
You think people would read the papers and think before they fell for the line these two are handing out?
Yeah. Working the obituaries, the oldest one in the world. These just happen to specialize in war casualties.
How about a stakeout on the homes of every name on the casualty list?
Well, that'll be our next step. If we don't come into something pretty soon. Tie up a lot of men.
Hi, boys.
Hi.
Hi, Quine. Got a call from Crockett. He's been in the mug files all morning with that Army widow and Mrs. Pomeroy.
Any luck?
They picked one. Here's a package.
Joseph Harrison Langley, huh?
Yeah.
Know him, Ben?
No, but I will.
Later tonight, Fight Fans, CBS Radio sends you a beautiful bout featuring two of the nation's top middleweights, Norm Hayes of Boston and Joy DeJohn, the boy from Syracuse. Hayes, who hails from the town of the Bean, has accounted for decisions over Bob Villemain and Jake LaMutter. DeJohn has one of the roughest right-hand wallops in the trade. It's going to be a good one to hear, that's for sure. So remember, be with us later tonight on most of these same CBS Radio stations for the exclusive blow-by-blow account.
Somebody's coming. Hello?
Hello. What is it, please?
Police officers. Might ask you a few questions, if we may.
Yeah. Do you want to come
in? If you don't mind.
Just a minute. All right, come in. Sit down anywhere. I'll be down in a minute.
Thanks.
Ben. Box in the corner.
Mm-hmm. electric clocks, huh?
Like the one that Priest got.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Joe?
Joseph Langley?
Yeah, what's he done now?
Oh, just routine.
You kid me. It's never routine with him. What's he done? What's the matter? Is he in trouble?
Would you mind telling us your name?
I'm Jenny, Joe's wife. What's up?
We'd like to talk to him, Mrs. Langley. Do you know where he is?
No.
Doesn't he live here?
Not anymore.
When was the last time you saw your husband, Mrs. Langley?
Thursday morning.
Where?
Right here. We had a big argument. He packed up his things and left, and I was glad to see him go. Too much for me, I'll tell you that.
Yes, ma'am. Didn't he forget something?
Hmm? Oh, that stuff. Yeah, I suppose so.
Do you think he'll be back for it?
I don't know. About him, I just don't know. What's he done?
Do you know where he went?
I haven't the slightest. Not the slightest. And I don't care, so long as he stays away from me.
Where does Joe work?
Joe work? He told me he's been selling things door to door. I can imagine what he's selling. I don't know where you can find him, officers. Believe me, if I knew, I'd tell you. I'd tell you right away.
Has he had any phone calls? Messages?
No.
You mind if we look at that box?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Is this the only thing of his that's around here?
Yeah, a couple of old shirts.
Mm. Any of his friends been around to see him?
No.
You know a man named Arthur Fries?
No.
Tall, thin man, partially bald. Here he is. Hmm?
No, why?
He's a friend of your husband's. How about this man?
Hmm?
John Gibney's his name.
No, I've never seen him before. I suppose he's a friend of Joe's, too.
Yeah.
Joe working one of those lousy stinking rackets again?
Well, we don't know, Mrs. Langley. We're trying to find out. You ever see this man before?
No.
This one?
No.
You sure?
Never seen him. No, wait. This one.
Carl Mason?
Yeah, I met him last week. Well, that isn't the name he gave me, but I met him last week.
Where?
At Rapolo's Rubiat Cafe. Joe and I went there for dinner, and this man showed up, and all three of us ate together. Wait. Said his name was Nelson? No.
Norton?
Yeah, that's it, Norton.
Richard Norton?
Yeah. Not Carl Mason, Richard Norton. It's him, all right.
Do you know where he lives?
No. Seemed like a good friend of Joe's, though. Is he working with Joe on this?
No, we think so.
Well, I'll be. That cuts it. He looked as straight as an arrow to me. Come on, what are they working?
They're going to people who've had sons or husbands killed in Korea and selling them junk they said had been ordered before the death occurred.
Are you sure they're the right ones?
Pretty sure.
That's awful low, even for Joe.
The manager? I'm the manager. You want what?
A routine investigation.
Well, I don't do anything.
I'm just trying to locate a couple of people, Mr. Rapolo. We know they were in here last week sometime. I thought you could help us.
How? Well, what is it? Who?
Show him those pictures, Bean.
Yeah. Here, have you ever seen this man here before, Mr. Rapolo?
No.
How about this one?
No.
I'd like to talk to some of the other people who work for you, if you don't mind. It's pretty important.
Oh, let me see this.
This one?
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh.
You think you recognize him after all?
Well, a little older than this, but looks like Mr. Norton.
He come in here often?
Quite a bit. Once, twice a week, maybe. He liked my food. Why?
This man, ever with him?
Well, I can't tell. Mr. Norton, though, he live around here.
How do you know?
Well, he come in sometime in a sports shirt, need a shave, sometime in slippers, for a quick bite, you know, breakfast, maybe.
Do you have any idea where he lives?
No. He's somewhere near here.
He ever write a check for you?
No. Don't take checks here from anybody. What he done?
Just want to talk to him. If you see him again, would you mind giving us a ring? Here's my car.
Oh, sure. You low-key live around here someplace.
Does he drive a car?
No, never see one.
Oh. Do you remember the last time he was here, Mr. Rapolo?
Oh, sure.
When?
Half hour ago.
Well, we know who they are. Carl Mason, alias Richard Norton, and Joe Langley. Now all we have to do is find them.
Klein, I want Crockett and Murph to keep an eye on Langley's wife. Another man at the place on 16th.
Okay.
and a man in the Rubaiyat Cafe. You and Asher, you take it here.
Okay.
Pete and I work it here. You get those blow-ups?
Yeah, they're on my desk. Hard job covering every residence in that neighborhood.
It's harder to face the people who come in with complaints.
What about here, Ben?
Yeah. Getting chilly again.
Yeah, I kind of like it, though. Makes you feel better.
Yeah?
You the manager here?
Yeah, what is it?
Police. Mind looking at a couple of pictures for us?
No. So?
Ever seen either one of them before?
No. Why? What they done?
I just want to talk to them. Thanks for your help.
Sure.
I never thought there could be so many places for someone to live.
Yeah. That finishes this sign.
Let's try the other.
Who, him?
Yes, ma'am. This one?
No. No, I never see him before in my life.
Now, how about this one?
Mistake, I think. Nobody like him ever live here. Sorry.
Late.
Yeah. I'm getting hungry.
Me too. Maybe he doesn't live in this neighborhood after all.
I'm beginning to think you're right.
No, no, ma'am. No, rates are the same. I said rates are the same. $2 a day. Yes, ma'am. Checking out time is 3 o'clock. Yes, gentlemen.
I'd like to talk to you a minute.
Yes, sir. What is it?
Now, we're police officers. This man registered here?
No. Why?
Now, how about this man?
No. Oh, wait. Yes. Oh, yes, of course. With the number and that haircut and everything. That's Mr. Norris.
Norris, huh?
What room's he in?
Well, he was in 310. He checked out this morning. Didn't leave a forwarding address.
Did he get a taxi or a car?
Well, I didn't call a cab for him, no. Wait, may I see that other picture?
Here.
This man picked him up in a car. I don't know where they went.
Right back where we started from, Ben. Maybe they pulled stakes and let out of town. No more complaints.
Maybe. Well, where's the waitress?
You decide yet?
The stew. Usually pretty good here.
I think I'll try the fish.
Mm.
A cigarette?
Yeah, no.
You see that package in Mason?
Yeah.
Can't understand a guy like that. Came from a nice home, had a nice education. College graduate.
Honor man.
Yeah. He was married once to a girl in Philadelphia. Society.
Yeah. Divorced in 46. Been in trouble ever since. Uh-oh.
What?
Quine.
Thought I'd find you two here.
Hi.
Sit down. Had dinner yet?
No. Crockett and Murphy just phoned in. They picked up Mason and Langley.
Where?
At the Rubaiyat. Bringing them in now.
And you know it. Now, come on. I've been pretty nice up to now.
Just sit down, Mason. We aren't through with you yet.
I don't know what you're trying to get me to say. Honestly, I don't.
You and Langley have been working a confidence game in the city for a month now. You know we've got you cold on it.
Well, I just don't know what this is all about. May I phone my lawyer?
In a minute.
Well, I'd like to phone him now. I have that right, don't I?
Where do you work?
I told you, in Philadelphia. I'm on a little vacation here is all.
Who do you work for in Philadelphia?
I told you once.
I forgot. Tell me again.
The Golden Eagle Supply Company. Now, how about that call to my lawyer?
Sure. Who's your boss there?
I don't have one.
What do you mean you don't have one? Isn't there a general manager you have to answer to?
No. Now, look, you've got the wrong man.
Oh, we have, huh? Tell me, how do you explain this newspaper you were carrying when you were picked up? With a couple of names circled on the casualty list.
I don't have to explain that to you.
How do you explain that box of stuff that was in your car?
I told you. They're just samples is all. A lot of it was stolen from my hotel room a month or so ago.
Why didn't you report it to the police?
I did.
We don't have a record of it.
I don't keep your records. Look, I'm getting a little angry with you two. You've kept me here an hour. You haven't charged me with a thing, given me any reason why I'm being held. I don't know how Mr. Langley feels, but I'm certainly going to take legal action against you two personally. You have no right to do this. Now, you either let me go or charge me, and let me contact my attorney. I won't answer any more questions.
Quine.
Yeah, Ben.
How are Murph and Crockett doing with Langley?
Run around, wants a lawyer, getting nowhere. How about Mason?
Same stuff. Let's get it over with.
Now, just where are you taking me? I told you I wanted to see a lawyer. What right do you have?
He left.
You people are actually crazy. Crazy, that's what you are.
Okay, we are. But I don't know about some of those people you swindled, Mason.
What do you mean?
They're waiting to have a look at you. You and Langley, right now.
I refuse
Come
to
on.
Go on. I've done nothing to be brought here like a common criminal and held out for people to look at.
And you haven't got anything to worry about.
To the next room, Ben.
Okay. Langley?
What?
You stand over there.
You people are really going to look silly.
Yeah, we know. Take off your hat.
You know what they're talking about?
I've told them all they're crazy. Just crazy.
You want to stand here?
My lawyer will take care of you.
Mm-hmm. Crockett, you over there. Quine, there.
Right there.
Murph.
You aren't going to prove anything. Why don't you save yourselves some trouble?
Just stand still, eh?
Okay, Ben?
Yeah, bring him in. Stand up straight, everybody. Straight.
All right, folks, if you just step in here for a minute.
All right. Do you, any of you people see anybody you recognize there?
That third man, Lieutenant.
This one?
Yes. He's the one who came to my house.
She's crazy. I never saw her before in my life.
I've seen that one, Lieutenant.
He brought the clock to you?
Yes, he's the one.
What clock?
Okay, Father. Miss Pomeroy. Thanks for coming down on such short notice.
Miss Shirley. You want to step in here, please? I have some verification cards for you to sign. Be right with you.
Oh, of course.
All right, I'll be right.
Thank you.
What do you say, Mason? Langley? We can get 24 more people down here to identify you both. You can make a statement now and save yourself some trouble.
What good would it do us to cop out now?
Never mind, Joe, never mind. So they got us. So what? I know people. I have connections. My family's got money. They'll never make it stick.
That's pretty funny. One bunkie trying to con another one.
Hey, why don't you book us and quit talking? We'll be out by morning.
Not out of this jail, you won't. There isn't enough money or connections to spring you on this one. You're going to pay for every rotten, dirty story you've handed these people around town.
Dumb cops.
Better take them out of here.
Let's go.
Hard to figure a guy like that, Ben. Awful hard to figure.
No, it isn't, Pete.
Huh?
Just a cheap crook with an expensive background.
The Lineup, starring Bill Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie, with Jack Moyles as Sergeant Pete Carger, was written by E. Jack Newman with music composed and conducted by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Hi Everback, Jeanette Nolan, John McIntyre, Jay Novello, Howard McNear, Virginia Gregg, and James McCallion. The Lineup was transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle.
Hello, folks, this is Amos. Next Sunday, me and Andy are celebrating our 10,000th broadcast.
Yeah, and we hope all our friends will have their radio tuned to this station.
Remember, that's next Sunday on most of these same CBS radio stations. Dan Cubberly speaking, and remember, America listens most to the CBS radio network. Thank you.
Welcome back. This definitely, in so many ways, the scam described here really bears a strong resemblance to that in the Dragnet story, The Big Betty. And I know I keep comparing this to Dragnet, but the comparisons are very hard not to make. Though I think this one did focus a bit more on the drudgery of the investigation and, of course, had a little bit of a different outcome. Now we're going to share what our upcoming video theater will be tomorrow, and it's a good one. It's Arthur Wantoner in The Sleeping Cardinal, 1931 Sherlock Holmes movie. And it's a good movie, a bit slow, but not something to really have objection to kids seeing if kids follow detective stories. And the thing I like so much about Wantoner is, of all the actors who played Holmes, he to me felt the most natural fit. Nothing against Jeremy Brett or Basil Rathbone, but he really feels natural in the role. So I hope you enjoy it. We'll be back on Monday with yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and join us back here on Saturday for the lineup. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. But from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.